Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Ka'Chava's All-in-One Whole Body Shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Try their newest flavors, like the limited edition Chocolate Mint. With Ka'Chava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Ka'Chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code SHAKE for 15% off.
And like, you're not at a period in your life where you're like well-resourced to kind of manage that. And then, yeah, so it could make things worse. And so, you know, people need to be aware of that possibility. That doesn't mean don't ever have one of these experiences, but it just means, you know, you're in a category that requires more care and more thoughtfulness. And right, you might very realistically have a period afterwards where you're really like going, it's tough because you're like rooting this stuff out.
Right.
For me, there's a light on the end of that tunnel, you know, but how long that journey is, you know, it's really hard to say. It's different for everyone.
Welcome to the Bond Life Podcast, where fitness, mindset, and real talk collide. This isn't just about workouts. It's about transforming your body, mind, and life. Get ready for unfiltered conversations, expert advice, and the motivation you need to level up in every way.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Bomb Life Podcast. I am Melissa Vogel, your host. Welcome to the show. If you're a brand new listener, I'm so excited that you have landed on this one. And maybe you didn't land on this one. Maybe your friend was like, you should listen to this episode and they passed it on to you. Maybe you were scrolling and you found us on Instagram. Either way, you were meant to listen to this episode. And I'm so glad that you're open to hearing more. And if you're a returning listener, you know you're in for a good show. Today's show is interesting and our guest is very interesting. I love having him on. And today we're going to be talking about like different things, healings, psychedelics, things like that. It's a great episode. And even if you're like, nope, never would do that, never would try that. Or if you have tried it before, you know, a little bit about it, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. Today's episode, I want you to just have an open mind as you hear everything. I want you to take it all in and know that there are different ways to heal. It doesn't matter what your background is, where you came from. Our guest today is a veteran and he offers a very different perspective on things and shares a little bit about his life and his struggles. And it's, oh my God, it's so freaking cool. But my whole point of sharing this before we dive into it is I want you to look at where you're currently at. And if you are just living kind of a mediocre life and you're getting really stuck in the rat race and you're not challenging yourself, you're not trying to improve your relationship with your family or your sex life or your relationship with your kids or trying to go for that next position at your job and you're letting it take you over and you're not taking over, I want you to just stop and pause and really think about that, because we get one life to live. One, you guys, this is it. And we want to give them a good show. I want everyone putting their best foot forward. And sometimes shitty things happen to us. Sometimes we experience childhood trauma and we don't even realize it. We don't even know it was trauma because we're like, I didn't see anyone get killed. I wasn't hurt or, you know, abused in any way. And we don't realize that what we experienced really was trauma and it stuck with us. And now it's showing up in our adult life. And we think that, you know, it's so many other things that's causing this trouble, or, you know, this is what's giving me issues because of this. And we don't realize like, no, that's because of what you experienced was trauma and it's still impacting you. And there are ways to heal it. There are ways to overcome, but just living your life day to day and not facing anything, it's doing you a major disservice. It's doing your family a major disservice. And are you truly going to be able to grow in other areas of your life and truly make a difference and live this incredible life if you just stay where you're at? The answer is no. So today's episode is another way for you to just kind of have thought around this. Again, even if you're completely not interested in psychedelics at all, and you're like, I would never do that, keep listening. Keep listening, because this episode is going to open your mind up to a lot of different things, different possibilities, and when we stay open to that and possibilities, you never know what that's going to lead you to. And I don't mean it's going to lead you to doing something or trying. No. But you're going to have an open mind and an open heart. I share a little bit about my experience and what I did, and I hope that helps all of you. But if you're not at least starting at the base, the very, very bottom, and the base of it all is just having an open mind, you can't grow and you can't change, and your mind can't open to learning and taking in even more. So pay attention to that. Today's guest is Neil Markey, and he's the co-founder and CEO of Beckley Retreats. Now, these retreats are a holistic well-being company that merges the science-backed benefits of psychedelics with contemplative practices to support lasting transformation. It's not just going there and like tripping. No, they help you repattern and reprogram your life and your brain with activities, with habits. I shouldn't say activities, with habits and routine, and they put things in place so you live life differently. At Beckley, Neil is committed to building a business rooted in integrity, both within the company and across the diverse communities that it serves. He is a former captain in the U.S. Army Special Operations 2nd Ranger Battalion, and Neil completed 3 combat deployments, 1 to Iraq and 2 to Afghanistan. And after returning home, he began a dual MBA and MIA program at Columbia University. And it was during this time, unresolved PTSD and depression surfaced. And it was prompting him to explore alternative healing modalities. And this marked the beginning of a profound personal journey with mindfulness and psychedelics. So we're talking about PTSD. We're talking about transformation and what he went through and how much healing can take place, again, if you're open, if you're willing to learn. So this is a real treat to have Neil on. We're covering so many different topics this month, and I love it, but this is just another one for you to live your best life ever. Now, go to the show notes, because we're going to put links to the to Beckley Retreats. If you want to book a phone call with them, they said you can talk to a human. You can send them a message on Instagram. You can send me a message. You want to have a conversation around this. And as always, I will put the link in my show notes for booking a call with me. If you're someone who wants to have more conversation around healing, about doing the work, jumping in so you can live life differently, book that call. As always, reach out. Please rate and review this podcast 5 stars if you feel appropriate, and leave us a review. It does wonders for the show. And I look forward to talking to each and every one of you. Follow along on Instagram. That's kind of my home. That's where I live. Shoot me a DM, and you can always email the show. It's melissavogel@gmail.com. All right, everyone, enjoy the show. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Bomb Life Podcast. Today, we have Neil Markey on. Welcome to the show, Neil.
Thank you for having me.
This is going to be a great episode. I can already tell. We were chatting beforehand, and Neil
told me that you might drop the F-bomb a couple times.
Dude, the F-bomb's going to come out. I can't help it. It just, I get real passionate about things, and I have a feeling like we're going to dive into some good stuff, and it just comes out. And I've had so many people tell me, they're like, I knew I was going to listen to this podcast and I was going to love you when you said fucking like the first 30 seconds. Like, okay, we're going to be friends. We're going to be friends. Okay. So you are the co-founder and CEO of Beckley Retreats, and you focus on like holistic well-being, like science to back benefits of psychedelics. Woo! Now, we have talked about psychedelics on this podcast before. I personally...
Do you remember who?
The company is called Mosaic. They have like the mushroom, the wellness pack that you can get. So if you wanted to microdose and stuff.
Okay, cool.
That's the owner. We had him on the show. And that's because I went on a retreat in February and dabbled in a few different things, which I am like such a virgin to like all of that. Like I hardly even drink, let alone like do, you know, plant-based medicine and everything. So that was interesting. And then after, I was like, you need to come on the show. So he told us more about like mushrooms and microdosing and all of that. But other than that, that's kind of like the only exposure that I have. And I'm really curious as to how this became what you do now, like how Beckley Retreats came about. And I know I told you this before we started. I'm like, that's a loaded question of like, how did you get here? But did this start back from you being in the Army and your deployments and experiencing PTSD? I'm assuming that's where this journey took you.
Yeah, that's kind of where it started. I usually start my story. I was doing my undergrad at University of Maryland, and then September 11th happened. I ended up joining the service, trying to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. But by the time I got through school and training into my unit and on my way to Iraq, we had learned that that whole weapons of mass destruction thing was wildly wrong, if you remember that.
Yeah.
But I did what I could, and I went to Iraq once and Afghanistan twice, and then I got out in 2012, so 13 years ago or so. And when I was in graduate school is when I realized I was having some challenges and like kind of reintegrating and getting out of this mode that I was in. And it was in that grade that I got first exposed to this kind of this world.
Okay. Tell me more about that. What does that look like? Because if someone's listening right now, I want them just to be able to hear about that and be like, hear like, oh, that is a warning sign. Oh, I experienced that too. Like, should I be paying attention to it? Like, I kind of want them to learn. Like, what did that look like when you were like, oh shit.
My sleep was really bad. I was very irritable, I would say, angry a lot of times.
Were you married? Did you have kids?
I was married, but I went through a divorce during this period. So that was a huge signal too.
Okay. And, okay.
I mean, honestly, like one of that, having to figure out how to forgive myself for that was probably one of the hardest things I've had to do in my adult life. But yeah, it was, my relationships were kind of falling apart. I was isolating. I mean, I was also in some ways doing well. I was at a good school. And so I was putting kind of one foot in front of the other, which is definitely a meaningful learning for me now, is you never know what someone's got going on. Like, there's a lot of people out there that like look like they got it all put together and they're really, really, really struggling inside. And so, yeah, that was me.
Dude, that's so true. Like Neil and I were talking about this a little bit before about, you know, how much high achievers burn out and they have things going on, and what we can dive into that later and stuff. But that's such a good point of you never know what people have going on and what they're suffering with. And I'm always trying to like tell my kids this too, be like, you don't know what's going on in their home life. Like, you don't know what their dad said to them before they left or what their mom does. And that's such a good point of like, when people look like they got it all together, you have no idea what they've survived, what they've been through. And it just, I don't know, it's a great reminder to like give people grace too. But on the outside, you probably looked like you were doing well. You were acclimating back into things well and on your way to a new career path at that time? Like, what do you do when you get out too? When you get back home and you're like, I have all these skills, but like, what do I do with them?
Weird period. Yeah.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
What did you specialize in the Army? Like, what was your thing?
I had a weird go. I was an engineer officer, which half of engineers do like construction, like normal engineer things. And then half of engineers do explosives and demolitions and things like that.
Okay.
So I was in the demolitions, but then I never spent a day in an engineer unit. I had an infantry platoon. So it was, you know, running missions, trying to keep the peace in Iraq. And then when I was in the Rangers, I was a captain then, so I was more on the support side of things, but it was coordinating these night raid direct action missions.
Wow.
Wow. Really,
I can't even imagine what you did and what you saw. So now you're back home, you're trying to adjust, things are coming up. And did someone say something to you about mushrooms or psychedelics? Like,
no, how did that happen? It was kind of captain in the Ranger Regiment, which is I'm so thankful to have been there. And it's an environment unlike anything I've ever been in. And then I was in Manhattan, New York. And so it was just like a whole different world. And I was so angry at all my peers because none of them seemed to care that there was a war going on. And I couldn't come to terms with that.
You mean your peers here, like people you were around back in the U.S.?
Yeah. My student peers, people that were in the program, because they had been having fun the last 10 years and like hadn't really been thinking about much of it. And my whole last 7 or 8 years was very different. And I was really angry about that. And then I got introduced to meditation was my first thing. So I tried kind of SSRIs and some anti-anxiety meds because I was just like state of fight or flight.
Right.
Literally and metaphorically preparing for a fight. And tried a bunch of kind of normal off the shelf type things, SSRIs and anti-anxiety medications.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I found that actually started to show some real benefit was meditation. And I got super into meditation.
How did you get introduced to that? Did like a friend tell you? Did you see a YouTube video?
There was this guy named Hom Nguyen, sweet man, who was doing his PhD at the same school I was at. And he was teaching this mindfulness for business leaders course. And he was like a 30-year meditator. And I kind of stumbled into this course. And I think he honestly was one of the first people that could sense the turmoil that I had going on inside. You know, like he could see right past my business casual attire, right? And then he was just this really kind person. He invited me on like my first kind of long form program. And then he's just a sweet, sweet guy. And so that's kind of how I got into it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it doesn't surprise me, but I'm like, how does like a big badass guy like yourself that like went through all this and now you're back here, like even be open to meditating, you know, and what a life-changing moment for you too. Like, because you taking that course and meeting that guy, like I'm sure your life was on this path. And from that moment, it changed course for you just because of that.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. Well, and I think in some ways I was fortunate to kind of be hitting a bit of a rock bottom. You know, I wasn't like in full crisis, but I was like pretty bad. So I was looking, and there's this Rumi poem that I love, which is, or statement, which is effectively when you're on your knees is a good time to pray, you know?
Yeah.
And, now looking back, I think the real tragedy is you get stuck in that kind of good enough zone.
Oh my God.
Decades. And I feel like I've been there too, but so I was in a really sad place. I was really disconnected and I was looking for something. So it just kind of showed up right on time.
Yeah. And that good enough zone, it's so frustrating. Like as me as a coach, I see people in that like all the time. And I'm like, man, you're not going to change until like you really hit rock bottom, are you? You know, and we get so just okay with like not living our best life, being fat and overweight, you know, living in like a so-so marriage or relationship. And we're just like, it's bad. It sucks. But like, what am I going to do about it? And nothing major's happening. So we can just, live in the, like the okay. And it's so not okay. And speaking from experience, because I'm a microdoser every single day. Well, I take my days off and stuff, but you don't realize how bad you were until you can see it. Like you don't realize like, oh, the sky looked blue, until you're like, holy shit, the sky is blue. Does anyone see how blue this sky is? Have I been walking under this blue sky forever?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that awakening.
Yeah, no, it can happen over time. And it just becomes the new normal.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't kind of know how different it can be.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're on this path of meditation. How in the world did it start from there and start to work its way to you being the CEO of Beckley Retreats?
So it's been, I mean, that was 10 years ago or 12 years ago.
Okay.
So, I mean, the short is I was in grad school. I was getting really into meditation, trying to learn how to take better care of myself. Mm-hmm. Started a business with my brother. And for there was this, and then I ended up doing a teacher certification in meditation at Jefferson University. So there was this really sweet time in my life where I was working with my brother. I was teaching meditation. I was living in my hometown. I was spending a lot of time in nature, no alcohol. And like you kind of do all of these things and life gets a little bit more smooth, you know, less friction.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a bit of a pivot point. I had been deferring this job offer for McKinsey and Company, which is a consultancy that has some allure and mystique around it, I would say. I had been deferring a job offer there and I asked them for another deferral because I was enjoying what I was doing. And they were like, no, we're not going to be your permanent backup plan. So you come now or we wish you the best. And I went there and was there for a few years. Yeah, I learned a lot. I loved it. It was kind of very stimulating, kind of solving interesting problems and working with smart people.
Okay.
But I'm honest, my mental health product started slipping the wrong way, you know? So I kind of did really well. And then I went into this environment that just wasn't the right fit for me.
Mm-hmm.
I went to this other corporate environment that was even further from kind of who I am and want to be. And then at the end of that, call it 6 years in the corporate world, I started to notice that some of my symptoms were coming back that I had worked so hard to get rid of.
Like what? Like what? I'm really curious.
My sleep is starting to get a little bit, you know, it's not as good. I'm becoming more, you know, short in my way, you know, kind of a little bit sharp, relationships not as
big.
And then I was looking around at a bunch of my peers, and you know, many of them had done really kind of well and had gone to good schools, and came, you know, a lot of them came from really like prominent families, and and they were having a hard time too, you know, similar symptoms, you know, not as bad as war veterans, of course not, but like in the same bucket of things.
Sure.
And so I just said, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to go do something different. I want to be well. That's kind of first priority. And then.
And you could, like, your contract was up, like it was okay that you were making the switch.
Well, I mean, that's like a whole other story.
Oh, okay. Yes,
it was just time for me to leave.
Okay.
It was time for me to leave this organization, and I knew it and they knew it. And then I ended up in Mexico and was teaching meditation in Mexico and just trying to kind of like give myself some space. And then it happened really, I would say, organically, which I think generally is like a good sign.
Sure.
You know, if it starts kind of flowing. And there's a indigenous people there called the Huichol, and they've been using plants and psychedelics for a long time, and they were super welcoming to me and my friends, and my friends were coming down, and I was connecting them to the Huichol, and we were doing meditation. And then I was like, well, maybe I should do something in this world, you know, I'm really passionate about it, more people are aware of it and interested in it. And then I met Amanda Fielding, and then that's when it all kind of changed. Or I met her and her family and her sons, and that's kind of how I got from there to here. We've been running the company now for coming up on 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, was this like, what happened when you met her? Like, now I'm like super curious.
So Amanda Fielding, everyone needs to Google it. She passed in May. She was 82. She's the most extraordinary person that I've ever had a chance to meet, because I love her so much. Really just a brilliant and hilarious and kind of renegade personality. She went against the grain for literally her entire life in an effort to help people get access to psychedelics. And so she was doing international drug policy reform and was one of the kind of leading research institutions for some time. So her family, she has two sons, and then she has like a lot of, you know, peeps, philanthropists and supporters around her. Probably 10 years ago or so, said they were seeing that the world was changing. There was more acceptance to using these plants and compounds. And so they founded this, essentially was like a family office for them, which was Beckley Waves, that was making early stage investments in companies that were going to build the infrastructure.
Okay.
So teams and programs and things like this. Yeah. I mean, the story of how we kind of got connected is an interesting one, a bit long, but I actually met her and her family through a guy that I went to graduate school with, and we connected. The way they were thinking about it and the way I was thinking about it were just such kind of perfect overlays. You know, I think we both really wanted to do this work with some heart, and it wasn't just about maximizing margin. We kind of both saw that as a fundamental problem of the existing health system. Said like, this work that includes kind of spirituality and connectiveness requires a different approach. And so,
okay,
so we kind of got started.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah.
What was your first experience with psychedelics? Was it a good one? What did you do? Was it?
Yeah. My first one that I would say is like meaningful was a kind of like a normal clinical type visit that was done on the underground in the United States.
Oh, okay.
And so there's a long history of veterans getting access to these experiences. And so I was fortunate to kind of get connected, and I was, essentially in a home in a private room and took a large dose and had headphones and an eye mask, and someone who I really trusted, actually a dear friend of mine.
Oh, wow. Like you were legit. Like, we're going under, like, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
You were in like a park, like, what did you take? Was it mushrooms or like?
Mushrooms, yeah.
Hey guys, today's episode is brought to you by Simply Greens. I am so excited to share this new favorite daily hack with you guys because it has changed how I feel from the inside out. It is Simply Greens, S-I-M-P-L-I, Greens gummies. I've been taking them for a few weeks now and even my kids are on board and I'm loving how simple they are to get my greens in. No giant smoothies, no mess, no powder, no guesswork, just chew and go. Here's what's inside. Each gummy is loaded with real nutrients from 14 green veggies like spinach, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, plus superfoods like spirulina and chlorella. They're 100% plant derivative, gluten-free, organic, with no cheap fillers or synthetic junk that your body struggles to use. Simply Greens also includes vitamin B12 for energy and metabolism. Yeah, we all need that. Vitamin D3 for bone health, zinc and echinacea for immune support, and so much more. Why gummies? Because consistency is greater than perfection. A gummy is easier to take. It's more enjoyable and it helps me stick with it. When I feel good, I show up for my workouts, my family, and my life. Since I started, I've totally noticed better energy, less brain fog, and I feel more grounded. And my kids, yeah, they're getting those same daily nutrients without me nagging them. They go out the door, I hand them their gummies, they take them, they go. And because you're a listener of the Bomb Life podcast, guess what? You get a deal. Use the code BOMBLIFE at checkout and save 25% off your order. You are welcome. Plus, if you spend $35, you get free shipping. If you've ever struggled to eat enough greens or felt overwhelmed by the powders and the shakes, just didn't like the taste, this is the solution, real greens in a real simple format. Back to the show. So my first experience, what is it with Mexico too? It's so healing there and just amazing. It was incredible. I won't go through like my whole thing, but I deal with like a very serious like morning depression. Like no one could give me answers. And I'm trying therapy and a lot, and I've experienced, you know, some traumatic things as a child. And then not that long ago, I was involved in a physical attack. And I actually just last week on the podcast, I shared a little bit about it. And I was really seeking to heal other than just like a talk type therapy. And one of my experiences that we did, I remember just like laying down and I literally felt like my brain, like a Rubik's cube, like going like click, 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 like just trying to like figure it out. Not to mention when I opened my eyes, everything was cartoons. But that was something else. That wasn't mushrooms. And then all of a sudden it just was like ding. And it was like, you're fixed. And when I started to come out of it, I literally felt like my brain was fixed. Like, it was done. And when I had done research, it was something of the toad. And now I can't think of the name. My friend's going to kill me. She's like, how did you forget? Bufo? Bofu? Is that what it's Bufo. Called?
And
that was crazy. And I'm a lightweight with everything. And I took a very small amount. And they're like, you sure? We don't want you hanging on the edge of like where you're almost. I'm like, no, I'm a lightweight. Like, give me a just whatever you guys are doing, give me half. Like, and then I know I'll be good. And they had said that, you know, one experience of that can heal your brain and your body, what it would take years to do in a regular therapy session. And yeah, from that moment on, I was like, I woke up the next morning and I felt like a different person. And it was insane. And I did this in a safe environment. Like we had a guide, we had like mats, I was surrounded by people. So anyone listening, like this isn't something to go do in your backyard by yourself with your buddy, you know, like, But it was interesting. And I love hearing that there is a place and a way for guys like you, for anyone to be supported in this way and have access to this and really heal, you know, any unresolved like PTSD and other things going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The world's changing. Yeah. It's encouraging that there's more awareness of this and there's more availability of these types of programs. And it's not just for people that are in crisis either. I think
good point.
It's for people that what we were talking about earlier that are kind of in that good enough zone or, you know, most of our guests are actually, we screen out severe indications. So like, I probably wouldn't have been I would have been right on the edge, you know, when I was coming out of the service, if I would have been a fit for a Beckley program, frankly. Because we screen out kind of more severe things so that because we do everything in a group and we need to be very thoughtful about the kind of group dynamic.
Interesting.
Everybody's, you know, at the right place so we can properly support them.
Okay.
But people come down and, you know, want to become more empathetic or improve relationships or kind of move through life transitions, like honor some you know, event or period of time, but move forward, you know, and not let it hold them back. So those types of things, these experiences can be really helpful with too, like dealing with burnout, finding meaning, all those types of.
I've heard several people, maybe you can shed some light on this, especially guys. I've heard more men say this than women, that they're like, I know what happened. That was horrible. If I go and revisit it again, I'm terrified that if I do something like this, it's just going to bring it up again. I don't want to relive that. Like, why would I want to relive that? How is that possibly going to help me? And so that's their fear of getting help like this and really diving in, because they're like, I don't want to relive it. That was horrible. And is it going to make my future worse if I go back?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a very reasonable and rational concern. And I think a couple things to say on that. One, you might have it kind of boxed and tucked away somewhere that's been kind of helped you manage it. But I think if you got really still and, you know, really quiet and kind of really were honest, it's probably still seeping up through your way in some way. It's affecting how you're presenting in the world, just because that's what kind of trauma does. And these experiences can definitely in some ways kind of open that up and bring it back into your awareness, which can be really challenging. But then in that challenge, there's an opportunity to kind of process and then let it be, kind of like it help take some of the sting out of it and allow you to really kind of like move forward with it out boxed away. Now, with that said, you know, everyone's different and everybody's history is different, level of trauma is different. And, you know, there are risks in these experiences. And I would say one is that stuff does come up, and like, you're not at a period in your life where you're like well-resourced to kind of manage that. And then, so it could make things worse. And so, you know, people need to be aware of that possibility. That doesn't mean don't ever have one of these experiences, but it just means, you know, you're in a category that requires more care and more thoughtfulness. And right. You might very realistically have a period afterwards where you're really like going, it's tough because you're like rooting this stuff out.
Right.
For me, there's a light on the end of that tunnel, you know, but how long that journey is, you know, it's really hard to say. It's different for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell me about Beckley Retreats. Okay. Now, is this an actual place where we go to?
Yes.
Okay, it is. And where is this located?
We do programs in Jamaica and the Netherlands. It's the two places in the world right now where we can do these psilocybin mushroom programs completely above board, fully legally, which allows us to be insured and everything, you know, like no gray area funkiness.
I didn't know that.
Everywhere right now. My goodness, you know. We run what we would call more integrative health programs. So obviously the psychedelic experience is a part of the program, but we're really teaching people these basic well-being practices and ultimately trying to get behavior change. More often than not, if you give someone one of these experiences and you do it in the right way, in a right environment, they will have a very significant, meaningful experience. And for some period of time after, will say things like, I just feel more peaceful. Oh, my relationships are better. Oh, I just noticed that the world's so beautiful more often. Like all these like really nice things. Mm-hmm. But if you don't introduce any new ways of being or habits, then you're probably going to go back to old self, because
yes,
there's a lot of momentum there. Oh. And so when we built this program, we kind of really were thoughtful in how we put it together so that we got people to actually live differently. And so, you know, we're teaching meditation, mindful movement, breath work, simple things like gratitude practice. And we do that, you know, we have a digital preparation that people can do from anywhere in the world in that roughly month prior to coming down on the immersive experience. You know, we get the group together a few times, they get to meet each other, they get to meet the facilitators. And our programs are generally like 15 guests in a program.
Okay.
And then we have beautiful estates in Jamaica and the Netherlands that we use. So it's a opportunity to have a bit of a digital detox, you know, kind of get in nature. It's really beautiful. And then, you know, when we're together, we're doing a lot of those practices that we taught in the prep, but now we're doing them in nature. So we're doing meditations and mindful movement, breath work. And then there's two psilocybin sessions, and those are done in a group. Those are done on day 2 and day 4.
How long is it? How many days is it?
Five nights.
Five nights. Okay.
Five nights. And then on the back end, we do a digital integration or follow-up period where we bring the group back together digitally a couple times. Mm-hmm. You have access to our catalog of content. And this is where we're really trying to take advantage of that window of neuroplasticity. So there's this period after these experiences where there's an increased potentiality for change. And so what it looks like is if you introduce some of these practices and habits and ways of being, they have more likelihood to stick. And then that's how people can kind of maintain that positive benefit.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love this. And I love that you're like, you know, that how much those habits and actually live, like you said, we want them to live differently, like for the rest of their life and how important that is. And I run into that like with health and fitness too. You know, like people are like, oh, help me lose weight. And they want to do like this 6-week program and then they drop 30 pounds and they're like holding their sign on Facebook. Like, I've lost 30 pounds. And you're like, that's great. But they didn't do any mental health work, you know, an identity shift to help support this new body that they have. They're just going to go back to who they were. Like they didn't, if you don't learn how to grocery shop, if you don't learn how to eat right, if you don't learn how to set boundaries and follow through, you're just going to go right back. And that's why like meal plans, people are always like, write me a meal plan. I'm like, no, me telling you what to eat is just a disservice. You're not going to learn anything. So I love that this is very, very similar. Like, sure, you can have an experience. Sure, everything's going to be beautiful and amazing after and you're going to feel so great. But if there's no lesson or like tools in place and you don't teach them, yeah, you're right, they probably just go right back to the way they were after.
Yeah we're trying to give people kind of tools that they can use to enrich their lives, and
what are most of your clients like what is your typical client? Do you see more males, females?
More women. It's like 60% women on our programs.
Okay.
And then it's a really interesting mix. I mean, it's young to old. We've had our oldest guest, I think, was 86. And
no way. Yeah,
he came with his wife who was 80. So 80-year-old, 86-year-old couple is so sweet. But there's definitely some density around. It's kind of these like late career, very successful women. Kind of these like women that might be in members of like Chief or something like that, or uh-huh. live in New York or have, kind of have these high power jobs. Uh-huh. And they want to, it's like this idea of burnout, and then they like want to have meaning, and they kind of want this next phase of their life to be different, but they don't quite know exactly what, but they're looking for some shifts in their lives. Mm-hmm. That's a big part of who comes on our programs. And that's a great, you know, use case, if you will. Yeah.
What are the guys like? You know, that percentage of males that you have, do you see a lot of veterans? Do you get a lot of other guys that are gone through?
Yes, we do. So we do get a good amount of veterans down on our programs, and it's kind of a thing in the veteran community now. Like there's a very normal thing for veterans to go seek these experiences. But we also get a lot of that kind of high performing white collar professional that corporate burnout wanna, you know. Yeah, do something more meaningful in their lives, that type of, be more present with their children.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we get creatives that are, you know, trying to be kind of more flow, mm-hmm. And adventurers that kind of want to have a peak experience. You know, these are people that want to climb mountains and do all these things, but they want to do this, but they want to do it in a safe, kind of controlled environment.
So right.
It really is all different.
All different. Yeah.
And
I love that.
It was so cool because, you know, 4 years ago, it was almost exclusively Europeans. If you kind of draw a circle around the Netherlands, it was like mostly people there, and definitely some mostly people from the UK, because that's where Amanda's from, and, you know, her family's known there. Mm-hmm. But now it's not uncommon for us to have like 6 or 7 different countries represented in a Netherlands program, and it's countries like Saudi Arabia and Pakistan and South Korea.
Really?
So the world is changing. Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's really, really cool.
How do you guys market? How do you find people from all these, like all across the world? How do people learn about you?
Word of mouth. But then if you just Google psychedelic retreats and psilocybin retreats, you know, come up. And I just think the world is kind of learning about these things and is searching. And then if you're searching for this, we're pretty easy to
find
because of Amanda mostly.
Yeah. I think now we are hitting that rock bottom. A lot of people are realizing like, oh my God, I can't keep doing this. I can't keep living this way. And they're losing people. They're losing their loved ones, like relationship wise, you know, like they can't sustain things. They don't have good relationships with their kids, no matter what they've been through. And I think people are really waking up of like, this can't be it. There has to be more. There's got to be a way to change this. And I love that we live in a world now where people are more open to this and willing to learn and dive in and do the work and see what else is out there besides just, you know, a pharmaceutical prescription.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's encouraging. When you said it earlier too, it's a lot of times some of us will need like a crisis in our life to get our attention, a heart attack or a death or a divorce or something. And in some ways, I feel like these experiences can kind of be that wake up call before the crisis. So they can kind of be like these preventative health programs, you know? Yeah, there are a lot of application, you know, and not for everyone and not without risk, but for many, you know, many people get a lot out of these experiences if they're done the right way.
Everything has risk. I mean, let's be real.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
I could go to the gym and lift and, you know.
Yeah, it's this has been studied a little bit, but I mean, these experiences, there are risks, but I would say they're not as risky as many things that we do regularly, like
drive
out our friends on a Friday night or
driving
a night on a highway.
Yeah.
And so it's all about kind of the relative risk and then just, you know, giving people as much information as you can, honest information, and then letting them make the adult decision. But these things shouldn't be in the boogeyman bucket and they shouldn't be in the no risk bucket either. They're in between.
I agree. Okay, I have a question for you. Are you ready? Okay. What's something that you believe about like healing and trauma or even transformation that most people like resist or even like maybe disagree with you?
Something that this is maybe a bit out there. You know, I think that we're spiritual beings that are having this kind of like material world.
Totally agree.
And so I think a big part of our wholeness is that connection with source or God or the oneness or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's that woo. I think we are starting to be able to kind of see this in physics. And, you know, so you can develop that relationship a lot of different ways. But that's a big part of feeling well and feeling whole is this loop, is this energetic loop with that thing.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call it. I don't think it cares what you call it, frankly. That's not that important. Yeah.
It's part of it. It's a big part of it.
Yeah. We are it in some ways, but it's very real, you know. And we take for granted all the time that we are on this like rock spinning at 1,000 miles an hour and you know, we're rotating around this big ball of fire. And then, you know, that's all rotating in a galaxy. And then you add all this up and it's, you know, it looks like we're moving at the speed of light. And then we all would take that for granted all the time. And then we say, oh, well, there's no way that this other stuff doesn't have any grounding in it. There's no way these phenomena can be true. And it's like, well, I mean, all this other crazy stuff is happening all the time that we've just become accustomed to. So just be open to the fact that there's some things that are, you know, outside of our ability to fully rationalize, you know?
Yeah. 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 Just being open is huge. Just being open to it. And I just have to say like, one, thank you so much for your service and what you did and what you've been through just for our country. Because when you had said in the beginning that, you know, you were getting frustrated with your peers from coming back, people don't realize what you guys go over there and do for us and what you're fighting for and then what that does to you, you know, and what you sacrifice. You're not just sacrificing time and yes, the potential of getting killed and everything. Like you sacrifice so much
And for you to be someone that went over there and served and helped and did an experience just so much and probably just horrific things that we can't even wrap our brain around, you know, and we're here in this just this privileged life. And then you come back and now you've taken all of that experience and now you're teaching others how to heal. Maybe not from the same experience of being gone and in war zones and everything, but I just think it's amazing what you're doing, Neil. And like, you've taken that and that ugly side and that dark side and brought it back and like, are just helping others in our normal American safe life, you know, live from your experience. It just gives me chills. It like puts a lump in my throat what you're doing.
Thank you. No, I love it. I think it's my life's work. I'm really honored to do it. And I don't want people, it's funny because I don't want people to be thinking about necessarily all the time, all the wars and things going on.
Right.
That's like why the soldiers kind of go and do those things. And I think people have got to, do what you can within your community and your circle and try and, love all the people that are close to you and be aware, be educated, but don't pine on some of these things that are outside of our control. That's not healthy either.
Right. What would you leave our listeners with right now? What's one piece of advice that you would give or any final thoughts that you'd be like, words of Neil?
I think meditation is really important. I think in some ways it gets put into this like bucket of bunch of other well-being things. And I actually think it's its own thing and it's kind of the foundation. And so I just always encourage people to, at some point in your life, I would say, take a formal course fit to doing it for a period of time. Yeah. And I would say that these plants and these experiences, you don't need to be in crisis to get something out of them.
You can good point.
Doing quite well and maybe become more aware, more kind or more connected.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, such a good point. Yeah. You don't have to be in crisis or necessarily experience something like extremely traumatic.
Right. Yeah. Or get in front of it too. You learn how to take better care of yourself earlier and then you can avoid some crisis.
Yeah, exactly. Neil, where can people find you or follow you or go to a website, gather more information? We'll put everything in the show notes too, but I love hearing from you too.
Yeah, Beckley Retreats. If you just Google Beckley Retreats, we'll come up.
Okay.
You can book calls. We're super responsive. You can always talk to a human. And it's not uncommon for us to have a couple different calls with somebody that's interested in coming down. So we're happy to do it. We're really easy to get in touch with.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on and just spreading the word of just plant-based medicine, that there is hope that these things are going on in the world. It's not something that's like not realistic or like, something weird happening way over there that we don't have access to. Like, you're doing it every single day. So thank you again for coming on. This was a true blessing. And I just love having more thought leaders and people that have experienced this and are doing this and helping others to let people know or let our listeners know this is real. This is possible. And this could be something for you as well. So thank you for being part of that, Neil.
Thank you for having me. It's really nice to meet you.
You too. Everyone, stay safe, stay healthy. Until next time.
The Bomb Life Podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. The content shared here is not intended as medical, legal, or professional advice. Always consult with a qualified professional before making any health, fitness, financial, or legal decisions. The opinions shared on this podcast are personal experiences and insights. So if you need expert guidance, go find the right professional for you. Thanks for listening.
Huge news, Wayfair shoppers! There's still time to shop Wayfair's Cyber Week sale. Thought the savings were over? Think again! Cyber Week, aka the holiday home stretch, is on now. Right now, get up to 70% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. Plus, you can sit back and relax. With Wayfair's fast and easy shipping, everything home comes straight to your home. Just in time for the holidays. Yep, even the big stuff. Didn't get everything on your Black Friday list? We got you. There's no place like home for the holidays and no place like Wayfair for Cyber Week savings. Shop Wayfair's Cyber Week right now through December 7th and save up to 70% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.